signs of compromise as Washington looks for a deal to raise the federal debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the debt ceiling negotiations get restarted today at the White House, and the rhetoric from both sides seems to be changing. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow up 59 points at 12,685. The Nasdaq up about 0.75%, and same with the S&P 500. The payroll processing company ADP said this morning the private sector added 157,000 jobs last month. That was more than double what economists were expecting, and it raises hopes for tomorrow's official monthly employment report from the Labor Department. That report is considered the most important economic indicator of the month. Now let's get to the debate over raising the federal debt ceiling in exchange for trillions of dollars in deficit reduction. President Obama is going to sit down with lawmakers today at the White House in the first official talks since Republicans walked out of negotiations last month. There are reports this morning that both sides are starting to put things on the table that hadn't been on the table before. Let's get the details from Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, who is with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Diane, what's the latest that you're hearing on these debt talks?
Well, we're finally starting to see both sides edge or inch closer together instead of running the other way from each other, which is a major step forward. I know it doesn't sound like much, but having Democrats willing to do much larger cuts, take away some of the ties to inflation on many of the entitlement programs, and on the other side of it, Republicans talking about tax reform, maybe not tax cuts, but some form of tax reform. Those are both major steps toward each other after running away from each other for much of the year.
Well, Diane, let's listen to some of the latest here from one of the top Republicans, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor.
Why would you want to raise taxes in a sputtering economy? And that's the position that we've held all along. So any discussion about loopholes must be accompanied by offsetting tax cuts.
Now, Diane, that sounds like a guy who's sticking to his position. Do you think we're going to see a deal by the August 2nd deadline the Treasury Department has put out there in order to avoid a national default?
Actually, you know, that is a movement forward, believe it or not. To talk about eliminating loopholes and reforming taxes is a movement forward on the Republican part. And I think we are going to see a deal done now because public opinion has shifted. More than 40% of Americans now that Moody's and S&P and all the rating agencies are threatening to downgrade our debt, even if we were to make debt service payments, has now shifted. And no one wants to go on their vacations after that August vote with blood of the debt ceiling not being voted increased on their hands.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, this morning, the European Central Bank raised its key interest rate by 0.25%. That follows yesterday's interest rate hike by China's central bank. But here in the U.S., the Fed is keeping interest rates right where they've been since late 2008, just above 0%. Marketplace's Stephen Beard explains.
Central banks are the original party poopers, as one Fed chairman once famously observed. His job was to take away the punch bowl before the party gets out of hand, or in other words, push up the cost of borrowing before inflation takes off. But here's the thing, inflation in the Eurozone is almost 1% lower than in the US, and yet it's the European Central Bank, not the Fed, pushing up rates today. That, says Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank, is because the two banks dance to a slightly different tune. The ECB is obliged only to curb inflation, while the Fed must also promote growth and jobs.
It does give the Fed an excuse. It doesn't have to raise interest rates as quickly or as high as the ECB, which has a very clear single mandate, keep inflation down below 2%.
Mind you, he says, today's rate hike underlines a fundamental problem with the euro. The hike is aimed at curbing inflation, which is a problem in Germany, but won't promote growth, which is urgently needed in Greece, Portugal and Spain. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
There is a new plan on the table today to deal with the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The plan comes from California Republican Congressman Gary Miller, and it would merge the two government-backed companies into one. So why in the world would you want to make these behemoths even bigger? Well, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, this new bill is actually aimed at making them smaller.
The housing market depends on Fannie and Freddie because they buy about half of all the home loans that are made. This new bill would create a corporation, like a public utility held by the government, and would prevent its share of the market from going any higher than 50%. Jamie Gregory is a lobbyist for the National Association of Realtors. He supports the bill, but he says half is still too much.
Ideally, Fannie and Freddie should get back to their historic level of, 22-23% of the marketplace.
Arnold Kling is a former Freddie Mac economist. He says the bill is written to benefit special interests, that the new Fannie-Freddie creation would be too lightly regulated, and that Wall Street would find it too easy to saddle the government with the riskiest loans.
That would be the most profitable strategy. They would rather have the government take that risk.
Kling says we'd be better off keeping Fannie and Freddie as they are and regulating them properly or disbanding them altogether. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, to the state of California, where lawmakers recently passed their first on-time budget in 5 years. And perhaps because they're now at a loss of things to do, they have passed SB 946. That's a bill that, among other things, defines a hot dog. If you're curious, the bill says a hot dog is a whole cured cooked sausage that is skinless or stuffed in a casing and may be served on a bun or roll. California, by the way, already defines a beverage in the law books as a liquid for drinking, including water. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
High school kids and parents thereof. Listen up. You ever wanted to work for the CIA? The FBI, maybe?
Those students need to be aware that if you want to make more money, then you have to have the type of lifestyle that will allow you to get a clearance.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Security Clearance 101. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.